Praise the Lord. Very marvellous time of worship that was. That's why we come to church. We come to worship. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was reading about Antonio Torrens. He was the pastor of Cross of Life Church. And he once told a story that when he was in his first year at the New Brunswick Theological Seminary, that in the course called Introduction to Preaching, the professor, Dr. Cleo Leroux, asked them what seemed to be a very simple question. The professor said, "How many Gospels are there?" And the whole class blurted out, "Four." Yet to their surprise, Dr. Leroux shook his head and said, "No, there are five." Antonio Torrens said that being a scholar and Bible school graduate, no one could tell him there are five Gospels. Whether you read in King James Version, Revised Standard Version, New International Version, New Living Translation, or any other version, there are only four Gospels. But Dr. Leroux, he went on to explain that there are four Gospels in the Bible, but that the fifth Gospel is in you. He said, "The world knows the gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But people need to know the gospel according to you. People need to know your gospel. What is your gospel? What is your good news?" Remember, friends, the gospel is not something you only go to church to hear. It is something you go from church to share. The gospel is not something you need to defend. It is something you need to proclaim. The gospel is not a debate. It is a declaration. And all Christians should have a gospel. Everyone who professes Christ as their Lord and Savior should have a testimony of how Jesus affected and changed their lives. All who claim inherited rights to the Father should have a story to tell about their experience with His Son, Jesus Christ. Friends, you can't walk the walk without being able to talk the talk. You can't follow in His footsteps without being able to tell of His goodness. You should have your own gospel, your own story. It's a matter of, we know, friends, we know that your mom was active in the church, your father's a leader. We know that, but what is your gospel? We know that your brother is a pastor and your cousin is a missionary. But what is your gospel? Do you say, who do you say Jesus is? Once Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And the disciples said, they replied, "Some say that you are John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And others say that you're one of the risen prophets." And Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" Do you see that, friends? If someone has to stop you and ask you to share your gospel, the gospel, what would you say? Oh, if somebody says, "Are you a Christian? I need to know about Christianity. I want to know about Jesus." What is your gospel? Mm-hmm. Some called him John the Baptist, Elijah, some said Jeremiah and other prophets. Mark called him the suffering servant. Matthew called him the king of the Jews. Luke portrayed him as the great doctor and physician. John said that he's the Lamb of God. The Jews said he's a great teacher. The Muslims said he's a great prophet. The Jehovah Witness says that he's the Son of God who never rose again. The New Age movement says that he's just a moral example of good behavior. But who do you say he is? Do you see that, friends? You're going to remember these things again. Lord, wake them up. About two or three. Remind them of this question. I'm just joking. The world wants to know your story. What, friends, is your gospel? This is the message of our text today. We hear Paul telling Timothy to tell the world about his gospel. Paul is an experienced old fellow preacher. He's trying to tell this young pastor, Pastor Timothy, how to address issues of ministry. He tells Timothy to preach his gospel. And that is what we must do as the First Baptist Church of Smoky Lake. We must preach the gospel. Paul is telling us to avoid godless chatter and disputes about words and just preach the gospel. I finished preach a few weeks ago and somebody came up to Hilton and said, but Keith used this word. He's all mad about this word. And Hilton said, but what was the message about? Paul is saying, stop that. Avoid godless chatter and disputes about words, but preach the gospel. Don't get concerned about godless traditions and rituals. Preach the gospel. Don't get caught up in godless constitutions and bylaws. Preach the gospel. Don't get distracted by godless concerns over church growth and membership roles. Preach the gospel. Don't get bent out of shape because somebody said you are just elected and appointed but not called. Preach the gospel. Even if you can't stand in the pulpit, stand flat-footed in the street and preach the gospel. Oh, don't get bent out of shape because your name was forgotten in the bulletin. Preach the gospel. We sing, friends. We sing that all the time, man. Oh, that we may be bound and chained. And there's laws coming out that is going to want to bind and chain us. But we don't sit under the tree biting our fingernails. We preach the gospel, friends. The good news of Jesus and his crucifixion. You may be bound and chained, but the word of God is full and free. You may be limited by the word. You may be limited, but the word is infinite. Paul says, come on, buddy. Preach, man. You must tell the world. The world is dying to know the good news of Jesus Christ. We need to remind them how he came through 42 generations and was born of a virgin. We need to remind them that he lived a sinless life. We also need to remind them how he healed the sick, raised the dead, how he made the blind to see and the lame to walk. We need to remind them how he hung on the cross, died and was buried, but he rose on the third day. We need to remind them how he sits at the right hand of the Father, even as we speak, interceding, praying for us, and is soon coming again on the clouds of glory. We need to tell them our gospel. I went to the University of Calgary. I was so nervous that day because I wanted to share the gospel. And after speaking, I came across this one lady, young lady, she's like a child, teenager, whatever. And I was saying, can I share with you about Jesus Christ? And she said, you know what? She says, you know, my mother and father belong to this religion and they're trying to convince me and so on. But I believe in this little ball that floats around, this ball, all right? It shines and so on. And I don't want you to tell me about your stuff. And I said, oh, okay. But you know what? Let me tell you my story. And as I shared about Jesus Christ and what he's done in my heart, tears began to flow down her cheeks. Because you know what, friends? I told them about my gospel. This is my gospel. This is what Jesus did for me. This is who Jesus is. And she connected with that. Sometimes we're afraid that somebody's going to ask us a question we don't know the answer. I've had that experience. They stop me mid-sentence. They ask me a question. I don't wing it. I don't fake it. I say, I don't know. I don't know. But this is what I do know. Jesus did this for me. Not Johnny, me. You know, one year, the ladies of our church, I've never had such a marvelous service in a long, long time. One by one, the ladies came here and shared their testimony about the goodness of God and what Jesus did for them. And my heart was filled, man, that Jesus did such marvelous things in the lives of these ladies. Paul tells the people of Corinth, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 and 2. And I, brethren, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is the gospel. You see that? Somebody said, oh, Keith, you used the wrong word. Okay. Ooh. But listen what Brother Paul tells Brother Timothy. This is our text for today. It's only 14 words, and we must try and memorize it, friends. Paul says to Pastor Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. Do you see that, friends? The first thing Paul tells Timothy to do is remember Jesus Christ. What about Jesus? Remember that he descended from David. This is Paul's way of saying that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one, the fulfillment of hopes and dreams, not only for Israel, but for the whole world. Jesus is the Son of God. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This is who Jesus is, friends. His words were words of hope and love that the world had not heard before. You know what? It's not on the screen, but you know in Mark. In Mark 12, verse 37, the Bible says, and the people heard him gladly. Ooh, they were excited. Also remember what the world did to him. His arrest and his illegal trials. We need to remember the laughter and the mockery and the ridicule and the scourging and the crown of thorns he endured for us. But that wasn't all. We need to remember how they nailed him to the cross, not for his sins, but for ours. We need to remember his words, it is finished. And the words Jesus uses, the Greek word that means paid in full. Our debt, my debt, your debt to God had been paid full by Jesus on the cross. Isn't that marvelous? Should we remember that? Yes. We also need to remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. You know, that's good news, friends. As Paul writes these words, he is an old and tired soldier of the cross who had been through it all. If you read this, the life of Paul, he was beaten. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was imprisoned. And now when he's writing to Pastor Timothy, you know where he is? Death row. He's on death row, waiting to be killed. And he leaves the legacy of faith to Pastor Timothy. And then finally, Paul says, this is my gospel. This is my good news. This is the core of my faith. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 9, he says, for which I am also suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. The man is chained. He was chained by the to a Roman soldier. See, they don't want him to escape. He's going to be killed. So they chain him up to a soldier. And those soldiers, they might have worked 8 hours a day. Another soldier took his place. He's chained again. When that soldier's shift is over, another one comes along. But I read that while chained, many Roman soldiers came to hear the gospel. Paul didn't say, oh, buddy, man, you know, I'm going to die next few days' time, man. You know, poor me, man, I'm just hopeless, man, you know. No, Paul is giving the gospel. Paul is sharing the good news. And many of them received Jesus into their lives. Notice Paul's attitude. Paul's attitude is this: despite me being chained like a criminal, despite my limitations and imprisonment, let's look at the sentence. But God's word is not chained. Do you see that? This is what Paul is saying. Chain me up already. But God's word is full and free. It's not chained. So you can chain me up. But you know what? I'm going to share. The truth of the gospel could not be bound by man-made chains. Verse 10. Therefore, for this very reason, Paul says, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul is saying, if God can use my chains to further his message of grace, I am willing to suffer any pain, any humiliation. out of concern for the lost and out of love for Christ. People need to know, friends, that Jesus loves them and that Jesus cares. They need to know that Jesus is a deliverer, a healer, a sustainer, a refuge, a shelter in the time of storm. That Jesus will keep them and not forsake them. That Jesus is a doctor in the sick room and a lawyer in the courtroom. That Jesus came to love them and to save them. The world needs to know the good news, friends. And you know what? You have the good news. I have the good news. You see, if it was the gospel that got the early church through its persecution and suffering. The early church had the gospel. They had the message of hope. The Jews, you know what the Jews did? Back in those days, the early church, the Jews kicked them out of the synagogue. The Romans threw them into prison. Tiberius, that's Julius Caesar, crucified them on the cross. Nero fed them to the lions, but the church still had hope. Why? They had the gospel. Amen? It was the gospel that said in Romans 8, 36 and 37, "For your sake, we have been killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Isn't it wonderful, friends? Everyone here has a story to tell, and you must tell your story. God wants you to share your gospel. Paul, who calls it my gospel, he uses a possessive pronoun. My is mine. To demonstrate his ownership of good news. He says, this is my gospel. Paul is saying, I'm suffering for it. And currently I'm in prison for it. Currently I am awaiting persecution for it. But it's mine. You see that, friends? It's mine. He takes ownership of it because he was willing to suffer and die for it. Friends, you may have to suffer for sharing your gospel. People might laugh at you, alienate you, mock you, tease you, ridicule you. Your family might want nothing to do with you, but you've got to say these words. Hey, like Paul, I take ownership of the gospel. It is mine. It is mine. Paul says he's willing to suffer for what he believed in. And so we must we. You can't have a testimony until you've been tested. You can't have triumph until you've experienced tragedy. You can't have victory until you have first been a victim. As Augustine said it, everywhere a greater joy is preceded by a great suffering. In other words, no cross, no crown. No death, no resurrection. In order to have a gospel of good news, we must first be willing to endure the bad news. Our willingness to suffer is linked to our willingness to be like Jesus. Paul says to Pastor Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verse 11, 12, and 13. Yeah, is a trustworthy saying. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Friends, to gain our lives in Christ, we must be willing to lose ourselves in Christ. We must be willing to lose our identity in order to gain our spirituality. We must be willing to let self die. In other words, we must become humble. We must die to self. And the problem with many people today, friends, is that they have not yet died to self. There are people who always want to exalt themselves, push their agenda, be quarrelsome, be fighting, because it's me, me, me. And Paul is saying, die already. Paul says in not so many words that if we still get upset because of trivial church issues, we must die. If we get mad because our name is not in the bulletin, as I said earlier, we must die. If we lose our joy because no one speaks to us, die. If we get bent out of shame because the pastor didn't wish you on your birthday or didn't shake your hand, die already. Oh, I'm all mad now. Somebody wrote me a stinking dirty email. How could you do that? You didn't do that. You didn't do that. You didn't smile. You did. Stop it. I didn't even, you know what? It took too much energy to type back. Die to self. Come on. You know what? You will be surprised what happens. And every time it happens to me, I just say to myself, die. If our emotions are troubled because things are not done our way in church, the carpet's the wrong color, die already. Paul says, in order to have a gospel, you must die to self. It's not about you. Our pride must die, our ego must die, our arrogance must die, our ambition must die. And when self is dead, then our spirit can live. And we can only preach the gospel in spirit and in truth. But in addition to our willingness to perish with Christ, we must be willing to endure. Friends, listen. Hey, the Christian journey is not easy, man. People who you thought are on your team, they will criticize you the most, man. Eh? But I want to encourage each one of us. Endure hardship and headaches. Endure heartaches and headaches. Endure pain and pressure. Endure sacrifice and suffering. Endure death and defeat. Endure trials and tribulations. And if you can endure the race, you will reign. Amen. To tell your gospel, friends, you must be willing to own it, suffer, and endure. Some of you have been through the fire, and yet when you look at you, man, you're the epitome of peace. You are the epitome of being cool, calm, and collected. Okay? You know why? It's because you have a gospel. You have had an experience with Christ which keeps you solid, rock solid. Now God wants you to tell your story. Share the gospel. Let me just end. You know, I was reading about this missionary said that while he was teaching in a seminary in Nigeria, he said for the first 2 weeks, there was one particular student who couldn't understand my American accent. And one day, weeks later, this same fellow stood up in the chapel and thanked God for giving him the ability to decipher this missionary's English. James Nyako said, for 2 weeks, I only The only thing I understood the lecturer say was Jesus. Isn't that precious, friends? Jesus. Just blessed him. Friends, that is a great legacy for all of us to leave. The only thing we really want people to remember about us is Jesus. Every other thing is ultimately of less consequence, except how we allow Jesus Christ to shine and speak through us. Let's say this together, friends. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, help me to not be animated and all excited. Help us to encourage each other in the most holy faith. Help us, Lord, to take full advantage of your precious word. And here is 14 words that really spoke to our hearts today. Bless our time, Lord. Bless our lives. And though we can't preach and all that stuff, that people will know that Jesus loves them. Jesus loves them. That Jesus came to this earth. That Jesus gave his life that we may have life. That's the best news we can tell people. Bless everyone in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing one more song, friends.